Blog Talk Radio.
Alive. Happy Tuesday, family. I know we're at a different time today, but that's okay. God bless. We are here and we are together. Amen. Well, I hope that the time we've spent apart in the last week has been fruitful for you as it has been for me. Myself and my assistant slash daughter just got back from State College, Pennsylvania, where we had a women's conference that was powerful and awesome. And I'm telling you, my heart is full. I got a great word on Friday evening being ministered to by our dear sister, Sonia Sessoms. And she was just awesome. So I thank God for that. And then just to hear from the body of Christ over at the United Church of Jesus Christ in State College. I tell you, it's been a good time. And so I'm still on a little bit of a high, folks. I'm telling you, it was really awesome. On Sunday, we were able to bring it home, and we were dealing with some of the things we're talking about here today as a family in reference to our identity and how it is that we come up with hope in spite of all of that despair we might be experiencing. Amen? So today, we're going to jump right back into that so that we can hear God's heart on our circumstances and how do we overcome in situations where, you know what, it just looks like there's no hope and we're not sure how we're going to overcome. But God has a ram in the bush, amen? And not only does he have a ram in the bush, but he has a process and a plan. And he wants to use it in our lives so that we can all be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But before we get into all that good stuff, family, I want to give a good shout-out. A good shout-out to those who showed up this weekend and were just a big blessing. Mainly, first and foremost, Tracy Jackson. Tracy Jackson of State College, Pennsylvania, she worked like a horse to make sure that this conference went well, and she was there for us, myself and Rebecca, to make sure we were comfortable, make sure all our needs were met. They were a serious blessing, and Tracy just showed up in so many ways. And I just thank God for the spirit of love that's on her and her family. And I just thank God for her and her family. I pray that you guys be blessed as a result of your labor of love before the Lord. I just pray that for you. Also, I want to give a big shout-out to Dr. Audrey Kareem, who we all call Dr. Dre. She was just a blessing as well, being an absolute wonderful host, making sure we were well fed and that we got from one place to the next without any hitches. I thank God for her. She's been a blessing, and I'm telling you, I'm glad to gloat a little bit on her behalf because we've been working together on a couple of things, and I'm glad to say today that, family of God, she is a published author. She just recently released her children's book, I Like Myself, which is a wonderful, wonderful book that she was able to publish, and it can be found on her website. I believe it's called NobleStrengthPublishing.com. Give it a look-see, family, and I think this book will bless your children to come in their identity and them being able to see themselves and enjoy what God made them to be. Audrey is a hardworking physician who just loves the Lord. She's got her history in Penn State in education, and I just thank God for her and what she's being able to produce with the gifting that God has put on her. And, of course, Pastors McKenzie of the United Church of Jesus Christ out in State College, they are a blessing in that they have such a spirit of love on them, opening up their doors to us in ministry and many more, Sandra Sessoms and others this past weekend. And I'm telling you, it was a powerful time, and the Lord showed up even on their behalf. So I'm thanking God for their body, and I pray that they continue to be blessed and all their needs continue to be met and that they get to express in all that God has made them to be. If you're ever in the State College area and you want a family that you can go and fellowship with and just whenever need be, if you need to laugh or cry or just be held, I'm telling you that is the place to go find yourself. So if you ever need a family of God to share with, State College, I think they're at 140 North Gill Street in State College, PA. Please do. Please check them out when you're in the area. Well, without further ado, family of God, and I should say this, there were so many more, I can't remember all the names right now, at State College, the church out in State College that blessed us, and I just thank God for all of them. God bless you all, and I speak blessings on your congregation. But without further ado, we're going to get back into what we were talking about here, transitioning from helplessness to full of hope in a world of despair. We're on installment number 5. You know, we find ourselves doing installments a lot around here, right? And that's absolutely okay, because we're aiming at trying to get the heart of God in this very jaded world we live in, where right is right, right is wrong, I should say, and wrong is right. We've got to fight to live godly, as I say in one of my books, and we want to make sure that we're getting the word out. So, family of God, let us pray, and let us see what the Lord would say in His Word regarding this transition from helplessness to being full of hope in a world filled with despair. Father, we are thankful that we get an opportunity once again on this new day that we've never lived in before to honor you, to give you praise, to seek your heart, and to live lives that are worthy of the calling for which we've been called. And so, Lord, we invite you in your wisdom to speak to our hearts today by the word that will come. Let it permeate our beings. Let it do a work in us, Father, that would allow for us to become mature in the faith and no longer struggling, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Help us, Lord, to be sound. Help us to be healed. Help us, O God, to be sober in the faith and to be able to display the fruit of the Spirit as a result of the entrance of your word, which brings light. We thank you for that. We give you honor in advance for however you're going to express it. And we praise you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and grace. In Jesus' perfect name I pray, amen and amen. Well, body of Christ, we were talking last week about the word. I believe we were around 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And I'm going to just go there. I'm backing up a little bit just so we're fresh. 2 Corinthians, I'm flipping through my pages, guys. The book of 2 Corinthians, right, chapter 5, and I believe we were at verse 7, and it reads, "For we walk by faith and not by sight," right? I think we talked about that last, and just basically how as believers, we're not designed to live according to just what we see. We're designed to live by the faith of God, as Paul said, who loved us and gave himself for us. So God has an intent for us to walk according to his mind, or walk according to his love and his view. But we can only do that by faith. We can't do it by our natural sight. Amen? And so this is one of the things that we have to learn to develop and practice in the body of Christ, to walk by faith and not by sight. Many of the times we go through a lot of struggles and we're feeling hopeless and helpless because we have walked by or we have lived by what we see with our physical eyes. And that view, that situation, those circumstances discourage us. And the more we look at them, the more we concentrate on them, the more we focus on them, they grow in our lives. They grow in our understanding. They become our reality as a result of the time and the energy that we give to them. Amen? So these are some of the mechanics that we can understand as to how we end up in the boat that we find ourselves in. The question I would have to ask myself, or the question you'd have to ask yourself is, what have I been looking at? Am I looking at my circumstance and exalting it over who God actually is? I mean, it's a legitimate question. We're talking about becoming people who will bear results in our lives. So I have to ask myself, am I looking at my circumstances? Am I looking at the natural appearance of circumstances and people in my world? And if the answer is yes, then we know that in this case we are going to have to make some changes for transition. We're going to have to make some changes. Bless the Lord Almighty, right? So we understand that the Word of God here is meant to be a practical guide. It's a practical guide manual in order that we can be and have even function as a literal agent and a member as instruments of the body of Christ. That's what God intended. So this word we're talking about in reference to what we're looking at, what we're seeing, and how we have to walk by faith, it's tangible, it's practical. God is trying to get us to see, apply this principle, apply this practice. Once you start to do this and you do so effectively, guess what? You're going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. You're going to overcome by the word of your testimony. Is that making sense for you, body of Christ? See, a lot of times we are really just mad because, you know what, it's not going my way as I operate in the flesh. I'm going to tell the truth because I've been there. I've been there. And my struggle, in many cases, when I look back over my struggles, a lot of them have happened as a result of me refusing to let go of my way, refusing to let go of my own personal understanding. It's my way or the highway, as somebody once said. And God is saying, no, 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 no. As my servant, whom you call Lord and whom you call Savior, whom you call Master even, you need to be willing to allow me to lead you and guide you in all truth rather than your own understanding, your own knowledge, your own intellect. You need to allow the Word of God to be the thing that you are walking in and standing on as your premise for life. I know I'm talking right here, family. I know I'm talking right. We need to start agreeing with God. And that is really the short and skinny of it, right? Once we begin to believe what God has said and walk in what he says, we'll start to get his results. That's what will happen. That's exactly what happens. So we need to start asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have? What would you do in light of this? Amen. How do you want me to handle this matter? How should I speak to my husband? How should I speak to my wife? What should I be doing different here, Lord? What is your will for me here? It's got to be based on what he wants, not based on what we want. And one of the wonderful things about that is that even when we've done this, we've relied on Christ and we've done things according to his standard, he will change our hearts where they need to be changed and give us his desires. That reminds me of a scripture, which wasn't something I was going to go before to, but the scripture says in Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Listen to what it's saying. It says, first, seek God. Seek his kingdom. Seek his righteousness. Seek who he is. Get into what he wants. And once you do that, anything and everything that you believe that you need to have in your experience, if it is godly, it will come. Now, what do you mean by if it's godly? What I'm saying to you is if it aligns with God's idea of who you are, if it aligns with the blessings that are set aside for you and you alone, if it makes sense and is a blessing to you and it's an add-on rather than a negative for you, God says, I got it done. You got needs, they'll be fulfilled. You need supply, I will supply it. And this is not a leap. I'm going by the inheritance that he's giving me as a result of Christ being risen from the dead. See, this is where we end up having to go back to the cross message, because the cross is just about that. Jesus came into the earth to redeem, to buy back all that the enemy had stole from God. That's what he did. And so his plan was, let me go back and buy back, redeem what the enemy stole as a result of the fall of man. So he went and he died so that the will could come to pass. It could be fulfilled. It could be passed on to those who were due his inheritance. I hope you're getting this. So once Jesus died, that's what allowed for us to go and say, yeah, I can have what the scriptures say that I can have. You know, we talked about Ephesians at some point in chapter 1, which we had dealt with a bit at the conference this past weekend, in reference to all that God had said we would have. In Ephesians, it tells us that before the foundation of the world, God gave us what? Every spiritual blessing. And he made it clear that we were chosen in him, that we were predestined to the adoption, to be bought back by God, amen, to be holy
and that we're already blameless and we're already accepted of God. Why? Because it's his pleasure. He just wants to. That is the God you and I serve. He is not sitting upstairs somewhere with bolts of lightning ready to strike you because you're not perfect. Amen? He's not. And so as a result, he's saying, listen, you've got the wrong view. You've got the wrong idea. What you need to understand here is that I'm not sitting here upset with you over what you're not. I already know what you're not. Amen? I got that down. What I want you to understand is literally that I sent Christ to be the propitiation for all your sins, for all your shortcomings. That's taken care of through Christ. The cross did that for you. So God is able to deal with the idea of imperfections through Christ. So now he's not looking at your not being perfect anymore. That's not even an issue. He's not looking at you becoming the one that always gets it right. No, no, no. Christ is the rightness for you. I pray you're getting that. Amen. I pray you're getting that because that is really rich. It is the premise for which us who are Christians are to live. We live on the premise that Christ and his crucifixion on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, is our foundation for being. It is our foundation for being free, for walking in liberty, for being able to have that transition, pardon me, from helplessness to hope, being full of hope. Pardon me, I need a little bit of water there. So because of that foundation, we're able to stand, having done all to stand in these last and evil days. We're able to bridge the gap from the accusation of the devil that says you're not enough, you'll never be pretty enough, tall enough, skinny enough, whatever it is that he throws at us. Those things don't have to be our reality anymore. Amen? I hope you're getting this. Because as you will trust Christ with who you are, as you will trust the cross to be the fulfillment for you being accepted again as you were accepted from the foundation, well before the foundation of the world, it's all in that cross. Bless God. I want to get some more scripture in. Let's flip over to Romans chapter 6, verse 19. Let's go there for a minute. I'm praying that this will bless you. I pray that it just blesses your socks off, I tell you, because once you get this and it gets down in your knower, it literally will transform your life. I have been transformed by it, and I'm being transformed. In the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 19, it reads, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. And he's saying this now, listen, as a result of the cross of Christ, as a result of the finished work on the cross, you now are empowered by the Spirit of God to be able to make a right choice. Family of God, we were called and meant to walk in the truth of the word. And it's practical. So we're saying, I can't. I haven't in the past. It's a stronghold. Okay. Then say, God, help me. Because as sure as he is living and sitting at the right hand of the Father, Christ is, he's saying, I've given you by the Holy Spirit's entrance at the time of salvation. And when we say salvation, the moment that you believed, that is the time of your salvation. At that moment, the Holy Spirit took up residence in your spirit. And when he took up residence in your spirit, he didn't go there just to kind of hang out. He not only is the seal of redemption against that day, but he is also the comforter who comforts you in all things. And he is also the teacher. The scripture says that he would teach you in all things. So here he is, our total empowerment and our educator, who's saying to us, listen, now you have the empowerment by me in you to do what's right, to walk in truth. To say yes when you should say yes and you feel like saying no. Your feelings and your flesh now don't have to run you and rule you because the power of the Spirit of God is aboard to empower you, amen, to make a good choice. So we don't have to be victims any longer. We don't have to be. We can just walk in the truth. We can do it. We can make the choice to say, Lord, I yield in that moment because the Holy Spirit is aboard. And because he empowers us to do right. Romans 7, verse 5 says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death.
And then 6, I got to go there, might as well go there. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So here we got scripture that is backing up what I'm sharing with you today. Listen, the Spirit of God is what is empowering you to be broken off from the struggle of the flesh and of sin and of the law. It's not inviting us to sin by any means, but it is saying, listen, you're empowered to do right by the Spirit of God. Yes, I want to jump down to verse 23 in that same chapter. In Romans chapter 7, it says in verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Wait a minute, what is he saying? He's saying there's two laws working here, one of the flesh and one of the spirit. And where was it working? He said they were warring, in other words, fighting in my mind. What do we learn about the mind so far? We learned that that is the place where these thoughts enter and they ruminate. They take residence in us one way or the other if we leave them unchecked. And it is the thoughts that lead, they're the first step, that lead to bondage. Are you getting that, family? It's those thoughts that will do it to us. So if we leave those thoughts unchecked, we will allow the law of death, which comes into our lives, that law of sin, that leads to death we talked about, we will allow it to reign in our members, and that's what leads ultimately to hopelessness, regardless of whether we're born again or not. That's what happens. But here we see in this law that's working against his mind, it would eventually, because there's a comma there after the mind, he says, and bring me into captivity. Oh, look at that. I'm being brought into captivity as a result of what I'm letting sit in my mind. Now, does that mean that there is no problem present? Absolutely not. Does that mean there is no real challenge? Absolutely not. But it does mean that as a child of God, you have power. You have unction. You have authority to change things. You have authority not to agree with the law of sin and death. You have that authority given to you by Christ Jesus. Good Lord of mercy. So now as a believer, I do not have to stay bound. I don't. I can walk in truth and love, and I can literally overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. Romans, same book. I'm loving this book today, guys. Chapter 12. Let's go over there. Let me flip over yonder. Romans chapter 12, and I know we're getting close to our end time, but I'm hoping that you will get this. Bless God. Verse 20. Let's see what the scripture will say. Let's look at this. Romans chapter 12. I'm still flipping. I should have had it open, right? Bless the Lord Almighty. I pray this is blessing you. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 20, it says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. This is good. I'm reading the wrong. Am I reading the right one? Yeah. Chapter 12, verse 20. This is what's happening. He's showing us a little bit of example of what's happening when we walk in truth, we walk in love. So here, some people would look at this and say, well, you if you do this, you'll be reaping heaps of coal of fire on his head. This is where we'd have to figure out what we're talking about here. That's not talking about punishing him in a particular way. During that culture, during that time, to heap coals of fire was to actually help. You were giving a bucket, basically, of the coals for their own use, right? So here you see instruction in righteousness. If your enemy is actually hurting, if he's in need, rather than turning your back on him, you would actually meet the need. That's what he's saying here. You've been empowered by the Spirit of God to actually meet a need. Isn't that something? So I'm seeing here an example of what it means to actually walk in truth and love. That's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing. And so if he could do it, how come we can't? How come we can't? We need to be walking in truth and love.
We need to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can even treat my brother who hates me or this person next to me who treats me terribly with the love of Christ. Because why? If I do that, he will see the love of Christ in me rather than the law of the flesh working in me. Can you see that? I tell you, this is really great because the books of Romans and 1 Corinthians, even 2 Corinthians, are really great for breaking down how all this works, especially chapter 12 in Romans. It is so rich. It's so rich. I'm hoping you understand all of this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. Let's look at that one. I think that's a rich one too. Because if we understand what's actually happening here, we won't have this ethereal thinking. We can actually have the mind of Christ and understand how all that gets played out from day to day. Are you with me on that? Because we're talking about a lot of rich stuff here, but I want to make sure that you get it. Let's flip to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see what that tells us. Because I think that the Lord has something to say there. And we're going to close with this. But it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says in verse 20, but now are they many members, yet but one body. What are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that we have a lot of folks who are in the body of Christ, but we all have a function. We all have a reason for being. We all have purpose. We all have destiny. All of us matter. And we can all walk in the truth and love of Christ. We can be whatever he's called us to be, body of Christ. And we can live out truth and righteousness on this side of time well before we enter into heaven. I believe that that's important for us. We've got to understand that piece. So we begin to see change as we actuate the word in our lives. This is what we're dealing with here. We must be willing to put aside our discomfort in the flesh long enough to say, Lord, I agree, and I'll do this your way. I'll actually put into practice these scriptures. I'll put into practice your instruction so that I can become more than I had been yesterday, so that I can walk in truth and love, so that I can be all that I was designed to be. Verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 12 says to us, and there are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. In other words, we've all got an expression. We're all here for a purpose and a plan, and we have got different giftings and administration, but we all have the same God who loves us deeply and has given himself for us through the person of Jesus Christ. And every single thing that Christ died for, which the scripture tells us is every spiritual blessing, we can have now. We can have them now. We can walk in them now. And I'm inviting you to that today. I'm inviting you not to let your troubles overwhelm you anymore. I'm inviting you to rest in the cross even when my flesh still hurts, to rest in the cross of Christ and its finished work even when the diagnosis is still prevalent. I'm inviting you to love on the Lord in spite of what may be going wrong in your world. Because the truth of the matter is if we will lean into Christ and rely on him, he will bring it to pass. This is what the scripture says. He'll bring it to pass. I believe in God for that for you. We have to learn to exalt God bigger than our circumstances, bigger than our natural understanding, bigger than this earth's mission to destroy us in many ways and kill off religion and everything else. God's got to be bigger. And once he becomes bigger, saints, you get to walk in liberty. You get to walk in love. You get to walk in freedom like never before. You'll be free to be you in Christ Jesus. Not worried about what you're not. Not worried about what you don't have. Not feeling insecure or inferior in any way. But being liberated in Christ to literally be all you were designed to be. That's my hope for you today. And this is why I'm here sharing this with you. It's possible for you. But the first thing we've got to do is make sure we believe. That's how we come to know Christ. We believe. So I'm asking you to search your heart today. Search your heart and see where you are with your relationship with God. Have I accepted Christ as not only my Lord, but my Savior, the Savior from the grip of sin and death? Have I accepted him as the one who's given himself for me, that I might live? And if your answer is no, I'm asking you to pray right where you are. If you're driving down the road, wherever you may be, ask God to just walk in your life. Tell him you believe. Tell him you believe that you did this finished work for you. And I'm telling you, he's going to do some work in your heart. All you have to do is believe. And the rest he will lead you to. Amen? Father, I thank you for those who are here with me. I thank you for those who are hearing my voice. I thank you for those whom we had the fellowship with this week. That was a blessing. Bless them deeply and richly. I pray also for those who are hearing me, whenever they hear me, whether it be in hearing the recording, and those who are live with me. Father, bless them right where they are and help them to be transitioned to the place you desire. I come against every work of darkness that's worked against them up until this moment. Lord, every stronghold that has held them, Lord, I curse it at its root, and I cancel its assignment. I close those doors in the name of Jesus. And I speak, Lord, that this person be free, as you've designed free in your own heart toward them. You're their creator. You know what you've designed them for. And I pray, God, that you would teach them this as they would come to you. For we understand, Lord, that we can't be all we're designed to be apart from you. So, Lord, do the work in their hearts. Do the work in their minds that they might become all you've desired, all you've imagined in this time for them. I thank you for it. And, Father, send to them those who can come alongside them and mentor, those who can come alongside them and help them through whatever they've experienced in the past that might be binding them up to this moment and even clouding their judgment or understanding. I come against the works of darkness that would cloud judgment and understanding. And I come against every demonic force, Lord, that would hinder in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray you would arrest them in Jesus' name so that they no longer have any kind of control over those who hear my voice. And I speak the word of God that it would bring forth fruit, Lord, that can remain and will remain to their account. I give you honor and glory and all these things, and I give you praise for who you are and how you're going to do that in Jesus' perfect name. Well, body of Christ, our time went really fast. But join me again next week. We changed our time up a little bit this week because we had a lot of clients come in because I've been at the conference and I missed a couple of days. But we're trying to be here next week at 1, and I'm believing God for what's going to happen as a result of you letting the word of God enter and bring light. Be blessed this week. And know that we are praying for you. We want to hear from you, too. Give us a call if you like. Give them the phone number before for our office. Feel free to give us a call. We're at 484-626-5024. That's our office where we do our Christian counseling and Christian coaching. We also have DC3I, which is a blessing. We birthed that. It is a school where we're certifying in the biblical education, and we're also certifying as life coaches and Christian counselors. Bless God Almighty. If you're looking for a place where you can get the word uncompromised, we've got it, family of God. You can actually even get this new career through DC3I online. We're flexible and we're affordable, and we're doing all we can to make sure that you can get this and start this new career and even have your church be certified and accredited so that they can have leadership people who know how to counsel the body of Christ. So, pastors, if you've got leaders and you know you need somebody to help meet the need there, come on and reach out to DC3I. We will make sure that your ministers are trained and ready to meet the needs of your congregation. And we're also blessed to be able to offer scholarships. Yes, family of God, we can give some scholarships to those. I think we have enough, I have to check with my secretary, but I think we have enough for 250 people. So if there are 250 people who would, by faith, begin to enroll in the school today, they will get a big scholarship. I understand that it could be up to 50% of your entire tuition. It's a year program, and if you put your heart and mind to it, you can actually get it done within 6 months. But we're here in this way, empowering the body of Christ to meet the needs of the body of Christ. Amen? Well, we're out for today. If you want to check out that school, it's dc3i.org, and we're glad to be training today's leaders to heal the heart, just as we counsel for heart healing. We thank God for you, and we just pray that you have a blessed week in Jesus' name. Bye-bye for now, body of Christ. I look forward, if the Lord tarries, to seeing and hearing you next week. Amen. Bye-bye.